Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
We're going to be reading out of Exodus tonight, sixth chapter. We thought all day we were going to go one way, and we ended up getting here early. Never could feel quite settled on the message, even though we thought we had it. And we were sitting up there. And I tell you what, if you do pull up there in the cemetery, up there on that little road, I mean, you've got a panoramic view of the mountain. It's beautiful. As he was saying outside there, he said, boy, it's a beautiful place to have a church. And it is. But boy, what, it's going to just pale in comparison to what we have in store. Let's go ahead and add that. But it's good to be here tonight, and we're thankful for another opportunity the Lord's give us. Again, we're going to be reading out of Exodus, and we're going to be in the sixth chapter, the Lord being our helper, and we'll give you all that give you what the Lord has laid upon our heart. Lord, bear with me just for a second. I'm all messed up. All right, Exodus, the sixth chapter. If you may scan and honor reading God's word. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. Let us pray. Dear kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for what we have already felt here tonight. God, we're thankful, Lord, for all your many blessings, Lord, that you bestow upon us, God. For we are truly unworthy, and God, we just thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation, God. We're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, and another opportunity for our lost people to be saved. We pray, God, that you just move us out of the way, Lord, tonight and use us as your mouthpiece. We pray, God, if there's one here that has a trial, tribulation, whatever it may be, God, we pray that they come lay it down upon this altar. But most importantly, God, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that you will convict them in a way they can be saved before it's everlasting too late. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. We all say amen. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. Now, to understand what is actually happening here, you need to go back, and you can go back and look at all of Exodus, and I'd imagine everyone here knows the story of the Israelites being brought out of bondage and crossing the Red Sea and all that. But here, if you go over into the fifth chapter, just before this, you'll read that this is where Moses and Aaron first went to the Pharaoh and told him to ask him if they could go out and at least just worship God and sacrifice. And, of course, we know what happened. Pharaoh hardened his heart and made it even harder on the Israelites. Here is the story in the fifth chapter where he took away straw and made it harder for them to make brick, but yet did not even alleviate the burden on them of any kind. In fact, demanded that they keep up the same quota that they had before he took away the straw. And when they weren't able to do so, he didn't just say it was all right. No. He then proceeded to beat them. And then you'll read a little bit later on that the ones that were over the Israelites, you know, they were the ones that were, that the Israelites, you know, that were over their little groups or whatever, slaves. They were then beaten, and they came to Moses and asked him, why is this happening? Why have you come here? Did you come to cause extra burden on us? Why is it that you're here? And so then in the 22nd verse of the 5th chapter, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses gets something here that some people say that we ought not do. He asked God what was going on. He questioned God. Some people say we're not supposed to ask God and question what's going on in our lives, but I find that not to be true. I find that when we're going through these things, if we don't quite understand what's going on, we need to get serious with God and ask Him if He will help us to understand. And while we're there, we may never understand while we're going through that, but then when we get on the other side, we can see God was in it and God was with us. And how are we supposed to ever learn and know God the more if we don't talk to Him and ask Him questions?
Amen.
I just started a new job, and I tell you what, ever since I've learned a whole lot of things. And if I didn't ask questions, I wouldn't know how to do anything.
Right.
I'd be walking along blind. So it's good to ask God, but yet when we ask God, we need to remember this one thing, and this is what we're getting to. That God always keeps His promises and maintains them no matter what we face or no matter what the world throws at us.
Right.
When I began to read this and I was thinking, it seems like today that when we look at our churches and we look at what's going on, and of course these are seems to be the same kind of thoughts and messages. I'm sure that many preachers are continuing to preach. I know the last couple of times I have been here, it seems like I've centered around the state of our world today because we can't help but see it in this shape and begin to wonder, God, why is it that these things are happening? Why is it that our churches are struggling so? You know, you're not supposed to look at the numbers. I heard people say that all the time, but I can't help but look and wonder. You're a preacher, right? You're a pastor of a church. You can't help but wonder when some people don't show up that are always there. And I understand right now, and a lot of people have rightful reasons why they're not here, no matter what decisions or what we think about it. That's just the way that it is right now. But yet we wonder and we see our churches struggling and dwindling even more today than just even last year. Tommy, I don't know about you, but I preached similar messages last year about our church is struggling, and it wasn't just in the church that we were in, but it was everywhere. Wherever we go, you can see many churches that are barely getting by. And we asked that question then. Now we've turned to 2020, and all these other things have come about, and we begin to wonder, why is it that it is continuing this way? But yet I must remind us, and God reminded me, that God will always keep His promises. I may not see what's going on here, and I understand some people say, well, we got to have a falling away and all these things. And brother, I don't know. I don't even pretend to know everything. If I ever get up here and I tell you I know everything, Tommy, you come up here and you drag me out, because I do not. But I do know one thing for sure, that as long as I am with God and my hope and faith is in Jesus Christ, no matter what comes in this world, I'm going to be all right. You know why? Because God, Jesus, promised me so. He told me that He would never leave me nor forsake me. That's a promise. And I believe that to be true, because I can look back and see things in my life. And during those times, I wondered, why are these things happening? But I know that God was with me in that. He's going to be with me today, and He's going to be with me forevermore. Because His love is everlasting unto everlasting. And what a blessing that is. And the Israelites, surely they have been crying out to God, Lord, get us out of this bondage. God, help us and bring us out of this place, God. And they cried out to God, and God heard their cries. And then he sent Moses. And now, just like many of us, we cry out to God and we're saying, Lord, help us. But yet sometimes it seems like things even begin to get worse. And many times I don't know about you, but me, I struggle with that. I want to throw my hands up and say, well, I guess I wished it upon myself. But that's not the way that it is. God is working and helping us. And if we would just be obedient, we can grow in this. And I know that no matter what happens, God is with us. If God be for us, who be against us? And so when he began to answer Moses' question, here again in the first version, let's get back to the scripture. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Pharaoh was insignificant and was nothing to God.
Amen.
We wonder about our situation, and let me go ahead and go here. I worry about our nation, and I worry about our government, and I worry about all these things and politicians and all that. But yet, in the end, kingdoms fall, kings rise up, and kings fall. But yet, no matter what, God is always in control, and compared to God, they are absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Understand?
Right.
You go back and you read through Kings and Chronicles, and it was all the time, this king did right, this king did wrong, this king did right, this king did wrong. And it's continuing that way, and it will continue so until Christ comes back and receives us.
Right. Amen.
That's just the way it is. Because this world is full of sin. But yet we still, doesn't mean that we shouldn't worry. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask and pray to God to help us have a better understanding. In fact, as we see these things happening, as it seems like it, the burdens are getting more and more, and it continues to stack up, and more people, whether or not we like to admit it, I believe every one of us have heard of somebody that has caught this disease and has passed on. No matter what we say or whatever we believe, we are seeing people get sick from whatever, and now is the time that we need to pray the more. That God would help us to wake up. And I got news for you. It ain't going to get better tomorrow. We don't know when all this stuff's going to start get back on track. But you know what? As long as we got our faith and trust in God, we will be able to stand. Why? Because as he talked about, if we build our house upon the rock, when the storm comes, he didn't say if the storm comes. He said when it comes, we'll be able to stand. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. That's the promise. God didn't promise us that we would have it just as good as anything, no matter what anybody tells you. We read in Job that when we were born of a woman, our life is just for a short while full of burden and trials. During this time, we are going to face things, persecution. You know what? That's the truth. God didn't save us in this life that we would have a good life. Here, do you understand? And I hope and pray I say that right. As Tommy was singing there, I understand. I just got through. You heard what I requested and asked him back. But you know what? Look at me. I'm not in a destitute shape. I ain't missing any meals. I have a roof up above me. I got shoes on my feet. I am blessed. I got 3 wonderful children and a wonderful wife. But most of all, I have a God that loves me, and I love him.
Amen.
And he's always closer to me than a brother or anybody else ever will.
Right.
And he's going to help me, even when I can't help myself, because of who he is. Let us not forget that God, and sometimes he needs to remind us who he is.
Amen.
You hear me? That's it, Tommy. Or, you know, sometimes we think, I'm sure I've talked about this here before. This ain't new preaching to y'all. We've all heard it before. We like to think we got this. We can handle it. I'm a big old boy. I've been able to do this for 43 years. I've got this handled. I'll figure it out. And sometimes we got to remember who's truly in control. It is God. And we got to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus Christ prayed the same prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who are we to ask anything different?
Amen.
In the third verse, it goes on, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac. And he says, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Now, we've all heard Jehovah many times, right? I had to take a moment to try to find it on my little iPad things I've downloaded and stuff, just so I make sure I got it right. And of course, that goes back to him saying, I am the eternal living one, and I like this, the supreme being. In other words, there is no one else beyond him. He is it, and that is all. You want to put your faith and trust in something? Put your faith and trust in Jehovah. Put it in him. Put it in Christ. Was I not known to them? And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. That's wonderful. You know what, truthfully, I'm going to go here just very quickly, but bear with me. So many times in our lives as Christians, we forget the covenant that we entered in with him. Do you know that? When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, when we repented of our sins, and by his grace and his mercy and his love, and because of our unworthiness and because of nothing else that I couldn't give him anything. I wasn't worthy of compassion. I wasn't worthy of forgiveness. But God loved me anyway, and he saved my soul. And when I did so, I accepted him as what? Lord, my Savior, my I Am, my Eternal One, my only God. But we forget that. We get caught up in the world, and we want to put God on the back burner. You know that? We put him back here and we just forget about him. We get our blinders on him. We keep living our lives. We wonder, why is it that people don't come to church? It's because people forgot the covenant they entered in with God. But I am so thankful, Tommy, that God always remembers. God always keeps his promise. When God says that no man can pluck me from his hand, that's the truth. When he says that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the truth. When he told me that if I would just repent and confess with my heart and confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that is the truth.
Amen.
It's not wishy-washy. When he says something, it is in stone and nothing's ever going to change. And he's always keeping his end of the bargain, his side of the covenant. And he remembers this and he tells Moses this. And even over in Hebrews, it says this in Hebrews 6, 13, 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, listen, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Again, that goes back to the supreme being, the Almighty, the I Am. There's no one greater. And so when God swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he what? Obtained the promise. When we enter that and God tells us and saves us, we enter into that promise to him that when we get to heaven, when we die, when we lay this life down, no matter what, guess what we're going to do? We're going to be with the Lord. That is a great hope in this world where you can't put your faith in anything else in this world. It's the truth. Jobs are here today and gone tomorrow. Cars break down. Houses collapse. Look at I want to be careful and say these things properly, but just look on the news. There's things just collapsing that you thought would always be there, right? Would you have thought that we would be in the state that we are today, 20 years ago? No. Because why? Those are earthly things. Those are things of this world. But the love of God is eternal, and it is ever, and it's unchanging. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And when God says something, I'm repeating myself a bunch, but we got to get this. It is forever.
Amen.
And nothing is going to change it, because there's no one that is greater that can change it. There's no one that is greater that can tear that down. There is no one that is greater that can disrupt that. You want to hear me? I want you to hear that again. There is nothing, no one, not anything in this world that is greater than God that can tear down that covenant. That ought to be something. Oh, I thank God. Oh, I'm just fine. I'm getting it. Listen to me. There's nothing greater. There's nothing else that you can put your faith in that is above Him. Nothing in this world is greater than God. And He says, I am the Almighty. That is the truth. Then going on, it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Again, He keeps coming back. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. That's a promise. Listen to this. Oh Lord, help me to get this straight and get this across to you. And I will take you to me for a people.
Right.
And this is God. When He's saying I, He's saying God. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. When Christ, let me change it. Let's just go. When He's talking about the Israelites, His people, we that are born again, and I don't care what anybody says or whatever, we that are born again now, we are His chosen people. God chose us. You hear me? It doesn't matter if we're Israelite, Gentile. It doesn't matter at all. It is all about God. And God chose and loved me enough to bring me out of sin and out of deprecation and in my lostness and in my burdens and all of those things and in my unrighteousness. And He loved me enough to pull me out of there. And He says, you're now, listen to this, you are now my child. You are now my people. And guess what? I got you no matter what. What a blessing that is.
Right, amen.
Even though, Jeff, you're going to mess this up, I got you.
Yep.
Jeff, even though you're going to do things that you are completely and utterly ashamed of, I got you. He's got me. Those little kids, they sing, He's got the whole world in His hands. How true that is. But in that world, you know who's got? He's got me.
Right.
And He's holding me, and He will never, ever, ever let me go, because He is my Lord. He is my God. What a blessing that is. That as this world continues to fall away, as this world continues to fall, and let's just be honest, as we may see churches come and go, as we may see things happen like that, guess what? No matter what, God has got you. You hear me? Yeah, man, what a great promise that is. It says in John, and I had some more, but I'm just going to go right down here. John 14, 1 and 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Now this is Jesus, and I want to bring it back to Him. Because I really want to make sure that we bring out Jesus. Let us never, ever forget about the cross. Listen, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house, this is it, listen. In my Father's house, and I don't care about the mansions. We could go on and preach about that for an hour, but we're not. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You hear that? If it was any different, if it was, hey, you can be here today and gone tomorrow, or if you did this, God would let you go. No, he would have told us that. But his promises says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. If we would just confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. All the things that we preach and what we teach, we believe that this is the true inspired word of God. We believe it, right? If you don't say amen, then you need to, let's try it again. We believe that this is the true inspired word of God. No matter what anybody else says, this is it. Understand? And when God says these things in his word, in his Bible, he is talking to us and telling us that this is the truth no matter what happens. Always with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. What a great blessing that is. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Because you think he would have came and died on the cross? And I'm going off the rails here. Listen, you think he would have came and died on the cross if it was just going to be wishy-washy? No! No, he wouldn't have. What kind of sense would that be in? Right! Because he said, God, if there's any other way, but not my will, thy will be done. And when he died, he said, it's finished. It's done. It's over. That's the way of escape. That is our hope and our faith. And when he rose from the dead and rose out of the grave on that third and appointed day, guess what, Tommy? As he said he would. As he said he would. That's a promise. And when he did, he brought the keys of death and hell with him. God, what a promise that is.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
Yeah.
And just as God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let's make sure we tie that in and understand it.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Came and made a way that I could be brought out of the bondage of sin. My bondage was to hell. You hear me? My bondage was to hell, but he made a way. And he broke those chains and allowed me to escape. And let me go. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, anymore, Tommy, and I've probably said this last time I was here, I find even myself, I like to watch TV. I do. I like it. I know it's a big surprise to you. I like to go out and run or work out. But I like to watch TV. I find it anymore, I don't even care. I find the quiet times, especially as we're seeing this world turn more and more. I find myself going on a walk and I start looking up and I say, Lord, it'd be awful good if you'd just come on back right now. You know that? Oh, it'd be all right. But you know what? I got people that still need to be saved. You hear me? And while we're here, we ought to be telling of the hope and the truth and the promises that God told us and assured us and told us there is a way and there's a way of escape. And we need to tell of those things now more than ever. Because as he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a blessing that is. Don't you want to bring a few more people with you? You want to bring a couple more with you? Lord, I know I don't. Finally, I even start pulling up to, I'll be listening to Christian station. I was listening to Christian station tonight. I pulled up this boy at a gas station. He's kind of a rougher looking fella. I found myself, I wanted to turn it down. Let's be honest with you. God knows already. Maybe this will help somebody else. How terrible of me to be ashamed of that. That boy maybe needed to hear the God. He maybe needed to hear that song. Maybe he would have heard it and asked me about the Lord. You know what? I got to maybe repent for that. I am going to repent of it.
Amen.
We got to share the promise.
Amen.
And I don't do it enough. I don't do it enough. He's coming again. That's the promise he's made.
Amen.
He's promised. And we don't know the day. But the promise is he's coming. And we are to tell people, and again, I don't know everything. I'll just make sure you're ready when he comes. And then guess what? It'll all be gravy. It'll be all right. You hear me? Just be ready. And we need to get a few more people with us. Come on up here and give us a song. Ain't you so glad today? I got longer than I intended, but listen, ain't you so glad that no matter what falls, whatever comes our way, God's got us. That's a promise that you can quote unquote take to the bank. It'll always be there. That's who we got to put our faith and hope in. Come on, Tommy, get up here and stand with us. I'm going to ask that we stand and sing. If you have a need today, maybe you forgot about the wonderful promises that God has given us. Now's the time to be reminded. And come up here and say, God, you know what, God, I messed up. I started doing it my way, not your way. But Lord, help me to put my faith and trust in you like I ought to. This altar is open. But most importantly tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior and you don't know about the promises that I've got, I've been talking about, and you've put your faith in things of this world, well, we can preach a message about that, right? Why don't you come and get to know the Lord tonight? As we sing, why don't you come?